Have you ever been on the outside looking in? Maybe you're sitting way in the back row today, feeling on the outside. Maybe it's as easy as making the wrong fashion statement that made you feel on the outside looking in. White athletic socks with dress shoes, and Adam Wessendorf wasn't around to ask if that's cool. Last Monday, the milk hauler came for the last time to my sister and brother-in-law's dairy farm. Brother-in-law Gary, not by choice, at age 61, now on the outside of dairy farming, looking in. Casey O'Brien, Minnesota placeholder for his beloved Golden Gophers, diagnosed with bone cancer at the age of 13, outside of the sport he loved for 6 years as he watched fellow children die of the disease he has. But 8 days ago, he made the field with his Gophers up by 28. They thought it safe to put him in. Inside, part of the team. Somehow it's where we all want to be. But what if outside is your comfort zone? Maybe you have darkened the door of a church for the first time ever, or first time in a long time, and you're wondering to yourself, well, this bridge service seems kind of comfortable, but is there really a place for me here? This is God's space. What am I doing here? That little voice inside of us. But today we are blessed by God to be in His space, so that we don't have to listen to the voice in our own heads, but to His voice, the voice of the one who owns this space and this place. And He's the one who says to us today, it is okay. All are welcome in my house. Brothers and sisters, let us read together God's word for us today from Romans 13. 19 through 28, as we have approached the presence of the living and almighty God. I will read in what's in white if you would read what is in yellow. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Your turn. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. He, God, did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand, before Christ came, unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. So it truly is okay. All are welcome, that long reading said. All are welcome. And our first thought, no matter your pedigree is where you came from. And all are welcome here today. It's all okay, no matter your pedigree. If ever you visit an old parish church, like Grace Church in downtown Milwaukee, and maybe old St. Paul's Church across the way. I almost wanted to sneak in last night and double check, but I don't have a key to the sanctuary itself. Tammy owns that. But I think, if you visit those old parish churches and you go up to the front rows of the front pews of the church and you look at the ends of the pew, you're going to see twin drill holes at the end of every pew. You know what those are for? Yeah, family nameplates back in the day. You pretty much bought your pew. Now, I think the size of your offering either got you closer to the front or the size of your offering allowed you to pick the pew you wanted. But how well would welcome home work if you're coming to church for the first time, trying to sneak in the back at the last minute, and you have to ask, go up to somebody and say, hey, you mind if I share your real estate, your pew? All are welcome here, no matter your pedigree. I will never forget the little lady homebound member at St. John's in Bay City, Michigan, back in about 1993. And I had seen her every month for like 3.5 years. And all of a sudden, one day, one month, she stopped picking up the phone, and there wasn't even caller ID in those days. Somehow she sensed it's the church. And she would not let us come over to visit her for devotion and Lord's Supper. So finally, I knocked on her door, because you could do that in those days. I knocked on her door, and she came to the door, and she said, oh, Pastor Strobel, I can't have you come anymore to my house. I said, well, why? Well, my Social Security check went down a little bit at the first of the year, and I can't afford to pay you for Lord's Supper anymore. Like she wasn't moneyed enough to be a member of the church, so she gave up her pew. Well, no worries. I talked her down from that, and we kept giving her Lord's Supper. I said, can you pray? Because not many of us pray enough. We'll pay for Lord's Supper. You pray. Oh, Pastor, I can do that. You see, all of us are welcome here, no matter your pedigree. But at some churches in this world, someone might say, well, I don't know, everyone comes in with a Bible or they got one of those Bible apps on their phone. I don't think this is the place for me that I fit in. I don't have the knowledge that you all have. I don't think I fit in. Dear friends, what does God see when he looks out at us? Does he see status or money or knowledge? Does he see a bunch of people who are better than you all? That's why we're here. What does he see? What do we bring to the table? Well, what did Paul say? He said, Matt, move me forward. I lost. This is my first time, by the way, clicking my own sermon, just so you know. And Matt's my buddy helping me out here. I'm on green. Okay, I'll move on. Yeah, catch me up and let me know. All right, Paul wrote this. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through law, we become conscious of our sin. What we bring to the table here is an awareness of our sin that God already knows before we darken the door, right? God already knows. No matter your holiness code. Not moving? Okay. Okay. So, the next slide would be a picture of a church council meeting, which, with a chart up on a whiteboard, yeah, showing the worship attendance over the last 6 months. And you get to February, and there's this huge spike in worship attendance. And the pastor says, now, this is the end of the football season. Boom! Attendance goes back up. And the thought being, watch out for what I would call holiness codes of conduct for holiness. Even in our tribe, we need to be careful about perceived holiness codes. You know, church attendance is a great discussion to have. But if you are a regular attender to the Bridge, that does not make you more worthy than me to be here, right? You know that Judas Iscariot hung around with Jesus Christ for 3 years full time, yet the sin and unbelief in his heart kept him on the outside looking in. Beware of making up holiness codes. The next slide would have a picture of a word cloud. It was kind of actually disturbing and fun to find. A word cloud of sin. Beware of holiness codes. Kind of like, well, you do know that here at St. Paul's, because if word cloud, you know what I'm talking about, right? The most common sins are big and the smaller, less common are small, right? In that word cloud, okay? Imagine if it was, well, you know, here at St. Paul's, we only commit the small ones, you know, the ones that don't matter as much. How you doing on the big ones? You want to be a member? Holiness code. Beware of a holiness code. The next one would show a sign that said, and asks the question, are Christians allowed to drink alcohol? And being German Lutherans, we'd go, well, yeah, of course. Typically, yes. But drunkenness and loss of control of me as God's man, now we have a discussion, right? There is freedom to drink alcohol or abstain. There is freedom to be a vegan or to be a carnivore. There is freedom to worship on Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday. We tend to not worship on days when there is football other than Sunday, right? There is freedom to worship traditionally or to worship in a contemporary, more modern style, right? As long as those things don't fall into the camp of better than you because of how I do it. Beware the holiness codes. The next slide would have a picture of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. What did Jesus say in a parable about all this we're talking about in Luke 18? Well, he says this. He told the Jews, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself toward the front and he prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at the back at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. My friends, self-righteousness, what I bring to the table, or God's mercy, which one justifies? Well, Paul said to us, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of law. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. Notice, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just. And the one who then can justify those who have faith in Jesus. Dear friends, how many wings does it take for an airplane to fly? That's the problem. It takes two, right? You lose a wing, pulls down you go. Lose the other wing, pulls down you go. Two wings to fly. What two qualities or characteristics of God find reconciliation in the person of Jesus Christ and in the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, there's two characteristics of God like the wings of an airplane: God's justice and his love. God must be just. If he would cease being just, that's not love and the plane crashes. If God ceases to love and acts unjustly, that is not justice and the plane crashes. God's justice and his love are met in the cross of Jesus Christ, finding resolution in the person of Jesus Christ, so that our relationship with God works, flies, so to speak. Next slide, if you can get it. All right, the next slide. So as we come into God's house, it's important for us to remember, not only does God say to us, "I know your sin." He wants us to know, "But I also know your Savior." I love this photo. I've used it several times for sermons. Hopefully you recognize this as the old church cross. Cemetery down below, and probably Test Corners Elementary School off to the right. Is that view intended to be a view from St. Paul's or a view toward St. Paul's? Is not the cross of Jesus Christ God's primary message to his world? That 100 years ago would have told the farmer on his tractor, "I have a Savior for you. Come and visit." That tells us if you come in from Sunny Slope and you come in by Maddie's and boom, there's the old church and there's the cross. The Lord says, "I know your Savior. Come in and visit. I have a Savior for you." Next slide. And then there is the privilege. You know, snow came, so Christmas can't be far behind, right? At Christmas time, we are privileged to tell the world about how God sent his Savior for us in the person of his Son. That he was born in Bethlehem to be like you and me so that he can say, "Father, I know what it's like to be them. I know their struggles." And God says, the Father says, "Yes, I know too. And you are the Savior for them." Next slide. But our Savior also understands the evil that confronts us, that pulls at us, that wants to bring us down, that would love to see us dead, both physically and spiritually. But here at St. Paul's and in every church of God where that cross is raised up before God's people, God is saying, "I know your Savior. I sent him." And Jesus stepped into the fray that is our struggles against evil in this world. And he looked Satan and hell in the eye, and he allowed the cross to come to him and take his life in our place. The Father turned his face away from his Son so that he would never have to turn his face away from you and from me. The Father says, "I know your sin, but I know your Savior. I sent him." And he did not come with glamour and wealth and earthly power. He came with humility. He came with vulnerability to give you life eternal. See, Paul said, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. God sent his Son to be nailed to the cross. But our sins were the nails. Our sin became his hell. But it was God the Father's decision to send him to die, which God the Father calls my sacrifice on your behalf, my sacrifice of atonement. Tear that word apart. My sacrifice of at-one-ment. Bringing you in close to me, welcoming you home. Think of Peter's words. Peter wrote, "Christ died for sin once for all, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones, to bring us to God." Jesus suffered hell for us, being on the outside of his Father's presence and love, looking in. His Father turned his face away, that we might stand or sit in his presence today and forever, forgiven and welcome into this space that is God's. And God wants us to know there is no room, no need for us to do more or to be more for our salvation. Jesus gave us the proof on the cross when he cried out, "It is finished." Using a Greek word that means paid in full. Nothing else you and I need to do or to be. We are saints of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, worthy to walk through those doors. But part of us may still say, how can I be sure? And so God points us again to his Son. As we're standing at the door, wondering if we can come in, the voice of God that speaks in this place every Sunday says, I know your Savior. I sent him. And he is alive with victory over sin, death, and hell, and his victory is his to share. Come into my presence, my son, my daughter, my precious one. Your sin I don't remember, but your Savior I know oh so well. On April 18th, 1521, a certain monk named Martin Luther stood before the Diet of Worms in Germany, and before Emperor Charles V of the Holy Roman Empire. It was a meeting of the empire, and Martin Luther was on trial, not for crimes against the state, but for crimes against the church of his day. Martin Luther was charged with teaching that the authority in the church does not rest in human beings, but with the person of Jesus Christ. That salvation is only by the grace of God in the work of Jesus Christ, and that the authority of the teaching of God lies solely in the Holy Scriptures of God. And for that, he was on trial. Under pain of death, Luther was told by the church that he was standing outside of God's presence, outside of God's favor, and that he was not welcome to come in unless he would recant, take back all that he had taught, all that he had written, to come safely back into the fold of the visible church. After spending much of that previous night in prayer and in consultation with his friends, Luther was ready to stand before that diet, that meeting, and he said these famous words, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures, or by clear reason, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen." Martin Luther stood on the words and the promises of God. It didn't matter what anybody else, even the church, was saying. Luther knew that he was standing right where he needed to be, inside God's church. By grace alone, by faith alone, by Scripture alone. Luther knew that God had sent his Son to be the sacrifice for you and me and for all people. The sacrifice of atonement to bring us back to God, that opened the door to heaven, to God's family, to his church, to this place. Dear friends, have you ever been on the outside looking in? Guys, I leave the discussion on white athletic socks to you and your wife. But I will say to each and every one, whoever enters the doors of this place, that in this place we take the perspective of our Father in heaven. In Jesus, it's okay. All of us are welcome here. He knows our sin. He's long forgotten. He knows our Savior. He always remembers. So whether this is your 1,000th time being at the bridge or your first, God says to you, and his people say to you, welcome home to the family of God. And together we say, amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you today with thanksgiving and praise that you are the sacrifice that came before us, before your Father's throne, that you shed your blood on the cross to take away our sin, to take away the Father's anger, to take away any fear of you. It is your blood shed for us, Jesus, that makes this our house. God's house is our safe place. We are never on the outside looking in through faith in our Savior Jesus, through faith in you. Help us as the family of God here at the Bridge and here at St. Paul's to take that message of you to the world. Let the world know that it is not who we are, what our pedigree is, where we come from, that somehow makes us worthy to stand in this place and to stand before you or to come before you anywhere in this world in prayer. It is what you have brought to the table through the sacrifice of atonement, our Savior Jesus Christ. May that truth always be our joy. May that truth always be our confidence. And as we wrestle with things like church attendance or where even to join a church or not, help us always to remember that those things are extra things from you, blessings for us as we trust your word to gather with your people and to be refreshed week after week that we are your children, that we are your family, that your throne room, we are welcome, and that one day in heaven, we will be welcome to be with you forever. So thank you for being our Savior God. Thank you for giving us the joy of sitting, standing before you this day, and walk with us now out into your world. That others may know through us just how welcome they are here. And then open our mouths to invite and to speak and bring them safely home through Jesus. We pray all these things in your name, O Jesus Christ. Hear us for his sake, Father in heaven. We pray in his name. And all God's people say, amen.